got the job done. Tottenham end up with 9 men. Xavi Simon sent off for a poor challenge on Van Dijk. It went to VAR. Red card the call. Then Alexander Isak came on in the second half. Brilliant combination with Isak, Ekitike and Fiertz. Fiertz with the assist. Isak with a wonderful left-footed finish, but it came at a cost. He picked up an injury from Van de Ven's challenge and followed through. He had to go off. Replacement, back from injury, Frimpong came on. He set up Ekitike to score a header. Richarlison pulled one back. Tottenham lost it near the end with Romero sent off for kicking out at Konate. And eventually, Liverpool keep up the winning momentum. Happy Christmas, everybody. A red Christmas, as always. Tottenham Hotspur 1, Liverpool 2.
A winning Christmas, Steve. A winning Christmas.
Steve Hunter, with the help of Sammy Lee there, summing up what turned into quite the frenetic encounter in the capital. It ended Tottenham 1, Liverpool 2. Alexander Isak and Hugo Ekitike with the goals for the Reds. Richarlison pulled one back late on to make it nervy, though. Spurs also had both Xavi Simons and Romero sent off in what was a very physical match at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We're going to get the thoughts of Arne Slot and Florian Wirtz too here on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis and I was joined in the studio by Jason McAteer and Sammy Lee whilst Ray Houghton was down at the stadium for us. Plus we've got contributions from Joel Richards who joined us remotely too. Bottom line, a massive 3 points. Yes. Yeah. Albeit maybe they made it a bit harder than it needed to be.
Yes, and I think we always like to win games outright and make them easier, but you know full well this league is not, that's not what it's about. The main thing to it all, bottom line, we got the 3 points and a away win, and that's more crucial. They will analyse things that came from it. You get playing against 9 men, what we should do better if we can, you know. And again, Becky, please forgive me, my last Christmas thing, I said just on commentary, if we keep the clean sheet, we're through, but we didn't, and next thing it becomes a little bit nervy, you know.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's quite all right. I mean, it would have been the first time we kept 3 clean sheets since March had it happened, but didn't quite manage to do it. But it's hard to find negatives that we've got a win. It's Christmas, you know, 6 unbeaten as
great
well,
win.
Jace. But at the same time, there's probably a few frustrations there that Arne Slot will look at this week. But in terms of the overall picture, getting an away win as well at this time of year, it's
big. Winning ugly is not a bad trait to have,
yeah,
is it? And
yeah,
it was an ugly win today. You know, and Tottenham played their part in the performance as well. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't a great spectacle. Full of incidents, as you said. There was a sending off in both half. Tottenham players, Liverpool didn't really capitalise on it. Liverpool at times were knocking it around really nice, little spells. But that's what it was. It came in spells. They never really controlled the game. Tottenham, like Sammy said, even with 10 men, were always a threat. Liverpool went 2-0 up. You just want to see them manage the game out there, and then it gets a little bit sloppy. They give a goal away, then Curtis gives an opportunity to Richarlison. It all starts getting messy. Romero kicks out, gets sent off, and then final minute, the ball's still going in the box. Alisson's having to make, you know, saves and stuff, and it was all, you know, hand over your eyes kind of stuff, and you'd like to have seen Liverpool sort of finish more comfortably, but it wasn't to be. And Sammy's right, you know, it's such a competitive league, you know, even with 9 men, they offered something to Tottenham, but Liverpool have got 3 points.
And what I will say, Bex, is that the problems that we had, we created ourselves,
yeah,
so in a way that can be eradicated, that can be prevented, which is great moving forward. We maybe got a little bit sloppy in possession at times, give them a little bit of joy, a little bit of encouragement, got the crowd back into the game. But the main thing is 3 points. Mm. 3 points away from home. Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It came at a cost, though, in terms of injuries.
Yeah,
it remains to be seen the extent of Alexander Isak's injury. We'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, it did not look too good, that one, Jason.
No, you know, it was a great little passage of play. You know, Romero gives the ball away, and then, you know, we haven't been at our best at times when we've been given opportunities like that. We kind of squandered the opportunity. But tonight, we punished them, and it was a really good little 1-2. Ball gets played to Isak, great first touch, and then, you know, he finishes it well. But was it Van de Ven comes across?
Yeah, the follow through.
He can't,
yeah.
And unfortunately, when you're striking a ball, you've got to have 1 foot on the ground to balance yourself. And he, it just comes so quick. It's like he couldn't get off the floor, wasn't it? And he's kind of taking the full force.
And his ankle seems to have gone under his legs, hasn't it? You know, which I think has caused a problem, really.
So we'll have to see what the scan says, yeah.
Yeah, he's only the second player in Liverpool history to be subbed on, score, and then be subbed off in the same game. Yossi Benayoun also did it against Man City in 2009. Only his second Premier League goal, Sammy.
Was Howard Gayle the other one?
Pardon?
Was Howard Gayle the other one?
Yossi Benayoun.
Yeah, but Howard Gayle, didn't he? He was a substitute. I know he was in the European game and he got taken off.
Maybe that. This is Premier League only, so maybe you could be right.
Just trying to get out of here.
Because I tell you what, would be interesting. Frimpong, come on. And went off as a sub.
Yeah, he did.
In the same game. Two. I'm wondering when that was the last time happened.
We'll try and get onto that and see if we can find out. We will do indeed. But in terms of, it's not just obviously this game, it's the forthcoming games, isn't it? There's no Mo Salah at the moment. Yeah. Cody Gakpo might take a little bit of time as well to come back too. So disappointing in that sense
as
well.
Yes, very much so. Beckham, Connor. What was the status of him? You know, was he injury or was it tactical when he took him off young Conor Bradley? So,
took a whack on his thigh,
you know, he did take a whack, and that's what I'm concerned about. That we've got Jojo Gomez out injured. So, yeah, that is one of the big concerns. There's always a little bit of fallout from these games, and that's why, Beck, we are saying on commentary, just keep the ball moving quick because it lends itself to getting caught and getting injuries, which we didn't need, you know. And unfortunately, we've got a couple more. We'll have to see what the extent of them are, but let's not take it away from them. Fantastic win and a nice winning Christmas.
Yeah, you know how important those first goals are as well. Liverpool have now won 13 of the 15 games that they've played this season. League and Cup, that is, when scoring first. So just so crucial, especially when you're playing against 10 men.
Yeah, and we've been guilty of conceding goals first, haven't we? And that's been one of the big problems, you know, trying to climb a mountain. You know, we concede first, then we open up, don't we, and teams punish us. And that's what's been going on over the last 6 or 7 weeks. But yeah, when they score first, it kind of settles them down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they get a bit of confidence about themselves. Yeah. I know it was a scrappy game today, and I agree with Sammy. They were sloppy at times, Liverpool, but you know, they score first, it gives you a bit of, especially away from home, you know, gives you that little bit of confidence, that little bit of momentum and belief as well. And to be honest, as we spoke about, you know, in the build up to the game, Tottenham haven't been great at their own stadium,
so it was important.
It was important we get the first goal, put up a pressure, the crowd turn. I didn't say that in commentary.
Exactly. I know what I thought was excellent as well. The impact that the newcomers had on the game, you know, in terms of the goals and the assists and everything, you know, because obviously you were waiting for them to try and get integrated into the side, get into our way of doing things, and they were all involved when they were on the pitch today in the goal, which I thought was excellent and very pleasing.
Let's touch on Hugo Ekitike as well, because what fine form he is, and we spoke about him pre-match with Jason, Sammy, so you can just speak about him yourself. He gets on the end of, it's Jeremy Frimpong's cross, isn't it? But just once again, outstanding, and a quiet first half like a lot of the team, but the second half he was quite something.
Well, foul, do you think it was a foul?
Well, his goal.
Yeah.
No, but you know, a lot of people can collect, that's what they were looking for. But you know yourself, the defender's got to be more resilient, more robust, but that's down to him. Great goal, great looping header. I think he's hit the ground running for us, Bex, and I think he's been one of the highlights of our season. When there's been a lot of questions made about certain individuals, I just think he's been excellent, and it's not just his work on the ball, it's his running off the ball. And as midfielders, we love that because we know we can play an average ball, he'll make it look good, you know. And I think it's setting for any football team, and I'm so pleased for the guy, so pleased for him.
Yeah, he's hot at the minute. They're strange breed strikers, aren't they? They're a bit like, you know, when they hit the ground running and they start scoring and all that, it's like the confidence goes through them and they go off, don't they? And then they can't. What is he now? 3 and 5 he's got?
11 in total for the season. Yeah. 8 of those are in the league.
Yeah, so he's certainly...
He looks as if he's enjoying life.
Five and three it would be, I think.
Yeah, But he's, listen, with the competition for places as well, we spoke about him in the build-up, didn't we? I think that has helped him, because I don't think for 80 million he's come to sit on the bench in his own mind.
He said that beforehand.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, he's got the bit between his teeth. Then he started scoring, but I think what I like about him is his work rate. It's like he deserves the goal because of all the work he puts in. It's not like he just, you know, works his way through games and he just waits for the opportunities. He goes looking for it.
And he endears himself to his colleagues. They love that, the work rate that goes on and off the ball. Mm. You know, for me, for any football team, it's not just about any individual, it's about the collective. Mm. And I think he epitomises that for me.
Yeah.
Okay, there's loads more to talk about, but I think it's time we bring in our fan panel. Joel, he is our solo fan panel tonight. Hello, how are we? Welcome along.
I'm very well. Thanks, Rebecca. How are you doing?
Very well, and all the best for seeing you. How are you feeling after that one? Quite a breathless end to the game, I think. But in the end, 3 points, and it feels very big.
Very glad I passed my own fitness test for this, to be honest. I've been under the weather. I had a bad night's sleep. It wasn't too good. But thankfully, I got here. I've got two words to sum that game up. Flipping heck. I don't know how a team can win a football match. A team that goes down to nine men have less shots than the team that went down to nine men that did not have a single shot in the final 15 minutes of the game at all, and still managed to hang on for 3 points, considering they had to make two changes at least down to injury and substitute two subs in a game. I mean, the first half an hour I was thinking, what on earth are we going to talk about? But thankfully, after half an hour, one red card goes in, and then, okay, that's something to talk about. But the first half wasn't great, let's be honest about it. It wasn't, from a spectacle point of view, it wasn't the best. And then the second half, then we finally have a talking point, Isak scores, great. But then seconds later, oh, he's injured. And I thought Isak didn't look moments before the goal. I don't know if you remember, he got a whack before the goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's at one point you're thinking, great, we'll get out of here, we'll keep a clean sheet. I'm with Sammy. I always want to keep clean sheets. I wanted to keep that run going as well, because that could have been massive for us early. So three consecutive clean sheets. But it's just frustrating that the ball didn't really get dealt with in the corner. It's a bit of a tennis, isn't it? And then it lands at Richarlison's feet and he scores. He likes a goal against us, doesn't he? Which is quite annoying in itself. But I think overall, you've just got to be, firstly, relieved that we got the 3 points no matter how. So, conversation now for the top four. I haven't managed to have a look at the table, but I'm guessing we're either in the top four or just out of it on goal difference. So that's a positive. Second positive is that we won. And fair positive, Ekitike scored again, so he's kept his run up. And especially now, if Isak's injured, then we need to wrap Ekitike up in cotton wool, because he's on a hot streak. And then what's another positive? That for once, you know, we withheld heavy pressure going into the final minute, even if it was against a nine-man side. So they're the positives to cling on to. Obviously, a couple of negatives, conceding that goal late on, not really being in control of the game. I mean, I had a quick look at the match stats there. We only had 8 shots compared to Spurs 15, which was a bit, considering the men advantage we had, we should have made more of that. But there's little things that are still there that we need to improve on. But say that from a winning position now rather than a losing position. So if they can carry on this momentum, we've got two fixtures over the festive period against Wolves and Leeds, both at home. If we can pick up maximum points, and then let's see where we're at when we go into the new year.
Okay, let's answer Joel's question about where Liverpool stand in the Premier League table at the moment, because the answer is just outside the top four. As Joel said, it is just on that goal difference. Chelsea's goal difference are quite superior at the moment to the Reds. But Sammy, we've been saying it for quite a while now, the table is so congested, and you know, just so putting tight. a couple of wins back to back over the next few weeks, dare I say it, some winnable games that are coming up maybe that you think will... Who knows what that could look like in a few weeks' time?
Exactly. And I think, to Joe's point, I think it's right. You get into the business end now. Christmas, the congested period, the concentrated period, two games at home. They will not be easy. That's been proven today. They will not be easy for different reasons. But if we can get maximum points out of that over that brief period, Joel, I think, you know, for me, once again, we're going to the year at least on a winning streak. So, some of the things that I was a bit concerned about, I think, in the first half, Joel, is that we had two set pieces, two corners. And they had two counter-attacks. We never got the second ball, and we're attacking the set piece, and next thing we're defending our goal. So that's the type of things that I think Joel's looking to tidy up and pin down, because you know yourself, when you're on the attack, you've got to make sure that the back door is closed by having more than them. Quite often that we've had 2v2s on a counter-attack, that against Bournemouth, against Chelsea and people like that. So it's important that we make sure we eradicate that and rectify it and make sure that our corners don't become an issue for us.
Joel, just quickly get your thoughts on Hugo Ekitike as well. The lads have been singing his praises in the studio. The boss said this week in his press conference that he's not surpassed their expectations, such as the due diligence that they do before making a signing. They knew what he was capable of. But as a supporter, has he surpassed yours?
I think he has, to be honest, because it's mad to say this about a new signing. He went under the radar even before Isak joined, because even when Ekitike signed, it was still, oh, but get Isak, are we going to sign Isak? Isak's coming in. There was a lot of chatter around Isak around the time that we signed Ekitike. So for him, his signing was a bit, obviously, the club announces every signing in its way, and it's, here's the new signing, first interview, whatever. But at the time he signed, it was when the speculation about Isak began. And Ekitike, I wouldn't say he was an afterthought, but I think a lot of fans may have sort of slept on him as a bit, oh, yeah, we signed this forward, but it's, oh, but we want the one that we haven't got yet, if you know what I mean. So when he started the season the way he did, with goals in his first three appearances, I thought, okay, well, he's staking his own claim, and that was obviously, those three goals came when Isak and joined the club, yeah. But he staked his claim early on, and then he got a couple of other goals, and then during the downturn in form that we had, he went into a little downturn himself. I think after he scored against Frankfurt, I can't remember that off the top of my head now how many games he went without a goal, but now that he's had this little purple patch in the past three games where he's got five goals in his last three Premier League games, then he's getting talked about again. He's very hot. I know the club posted, I know I say the club, say you guys published a very lovely feature with him earlier this week. And it was, so I think his character, one of trying to prove people wrong, because he's already had a big money move earlier on in his career when he played for PSG, and it didn't work out for one reason or another. And I think he was there around this time that they had Mbappe, Neymar and Messi. So in a way, he was on a hardened to nothing from the get-go when he was at PSG. He's gone away from there. He's gone to Frankfurt. He's rebuilt his career. And then Frankfurt have always been a good finishing school in recent years for players such as Ekitike. You've seen Omar Marmoush leave Frankfurt for big money to go to Man City, and now you've seen Ekitike join us for big money. So I don't think he's let the price tag affect him at all. And if anything, he seems like a player that is welcome to any competition in the side, because obviously he's already had that experience in such a short career of playing alongside established names in the game. So I think it's only benefited them greatly. And I think that now he is clearly the first choice forward. I think even before Isak got injured, he was first choice, he was hot. So now he's got a perfect chance to stake his claim even further and continue the run. And such was, as long as he does, then we have got a very good chance of climbing further up the table and consolidating our position in the top four.
Yeah, as Joel says, he's a very cool, calm, collected guy, which I'm sure helps. But as does also, I suppose, you know, when you come for a fee of that size, there's always a degree of pressure. But as Joel says, because the spotlight was probably always on the Alexander Isak signing and that situation, he's... Hugo Ekitike has been kind of able to kind of go about his own business and never really felt the full force of that pressure, if you like, which probably must be bonus in that situation.
I spoke to a French correspondent who's followed his career for a while. Joel was just talking about his movement from Paris to Frankfurt, and apparently Liverpool, he's been on Liverpool's radar for 6 years. They've been watching over him and just watching his progression and how he's been getting on. And obviously they made the leap at 79 million, 80 million. When you come to a football club for that money, I don't think you, in your head, I don't think you're coming to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And we've all got our own take on the Ekitike and the Isak deal and what we all think happened and why it happened and this didn't happen. And, you know, I have my own take. I think he'd come as first choice. I don't think Isak was, the deal was going to get over the line. This is my take. So Ekitike was brought in because they didn't want to miss out. Then Alexander Isak deal ended up taking place and they ended up getting the two of them in. And then the manager's got a choice to make there. Whether he wants to play the two of them at the same time, I don't know, but he's got a choice. But what I like about Ekitike is when Isak's come in, obviously that competition for places, or that one position, is now up for grabs. And he wasn't going to relinquish it. He was going to say to the manager, well, I'm going to put a performance in, I'm going to show you what I've got, and it's up to you then to make the decision. But Isak, I'm going to make you work to get Isak mm-hmm. in the team. I'm not just going to sit here and take it and say, right, okay, I'm going to sit on the bench and wait. If I get my opportunity, I'm going to take it. And to be fair to Slot, I know Isak's been, you know, with his, he's had a couple of injuries and he's maybe not up to speed, But I actually think even if Isak had come in and got a pre-season under his belt, I think the manager might have been strong enough to play him.
I agree, and I think someone said, I think they can play together first and foremost.
I think you got that, yeah.
And I think a lot of credit should be given to and I'm not employed by the football club in any way, shape or form, but a lot of credit should be given to the owners and the recruitment staff, because, as you say, they're on the radar for whatever, and I think they've looked at the bigger picture and said, well, if we can get these two guys, again, I repeat, I still think they can play together. Sadly, because of the injury situation, we won't know for a while again now, it seems, but a lot of credit should be given to the backroom people of identifying them and getting them and bringing them in.
He's a real, real talent, isn't he? Some reaction, fingers crossed, is on its way from the Liverpool dressing room. Before we get that, though, we're going to get the thoughts of Ray Houghton. He is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with our very own Matt Smith.
Well, Becky, me and Ray are going to try and make some sense from closer to it, perhaps, than you guys. What a nerve shredder.
Yeah.
The 3 points that was.
I don't think there'll be a lot of joy, other than for the fact that they got the 3 points from the game. It wasn't a very good first half. Both teams were low-key, if you like. There wasn't a lot of creativity, wasn't a lot of chances. Neither goalkeeper really made any real saves that you wouldn't expect him to make anyway. Wirtz had one shot, which the goalkeeper said. Apart from that, it wasn't a great deal else. Obviously, there was the sending-offs, which impacted the game. But when Liverpool went 2-0 up, you know, I was expecting them really to move the ball around. Playing against 10 men as they were at that stage, just make sure that you use the full width of the pitch, take the sting out of it, give them no encouragement to get back into it. But for some unknown reason, it looked like we got a little bit tired, a little bit leggy. A few players pulling up with injuries, which is going to be a concern with the upcoming fixtures that Liverpool have got. Hopefully they're all well and fit for the game against Wolves next week. But that would be the only concern. At the end of it, you know, you've got the win, and you could tell by the reaction of the bench, the manager, and his coaching staff, there was relief. No more than that. I don't think there was joy. It was relief that they've got through it and they got the victory.
And when the dust settles, the fact that the three new signings, the big money signings, combined for that opening goal, that's important.
Yeah, but it came at a cost, isn't it?
It has.
He picked up a knock there. We don't know how bad it was. Obviously, he limped off. Good news, he didn't go off on a stretch. He actually was aided off by the medical team. But we have to wait and see what the prognosis is, and hopefully he's going to be OK. He done great when he came on. The goal that he scored, you know, the movement was terrific. The ball from Wirtz, I think it was, reversed into his pass, and then he got away from his marker, put it across the goalkeeper. Excellent movement, great finish. This came at a cost. He's picked up an injury, and hopefully he's, you know, I don't know how long he's going to be out. Well, we have to wait and see what the medical team say about it. But yeah, he could be a big loss.
Yeah, and then another of the subs, Frimpong, checks back onto his left foot. Ball goes up in the air, and Ekitike does really well to fashion the goal that he does.
I thought he'd done really well, because I was looking when Frimpong put the ball into the box, I was looking at our numbers in there. There was only two in there.
Yeah.
I think it could have been Wirtz or McAllister, and the other one was Ekitike. But he jumped really well. Yeah. I mean, there's a slight contentious issue because his hands were on the back of Romero, but I don't think it was no more than, I don't think he pushed him over. I thought he was just a little bit stronger. Romero went to ground easy, but it was a really good header, wasn't it? You know, he directed it. I mean, initially I thought it came off the side of his head and he was a little bit fortunate, but it looked like he meant to go where it did, and it came at a crucial time to make it 2-0. And I thought at that stage the game was over, that Liverpool would just see the game out and it was going to be a comfortable victory.
If only it had been like that.
It wasn't
quite like that, was it? But it's hard to know how much to take from it from a kind of analytical point of view, because it was such a crazy game.
I think what games like that, what you take from it is just 3 points. Yeah. You know, we talked about before the game, didn't we, Matt, about, you know, building blocks, you know, getting that consistency, getting the victories, and taking it into the next game. And that's what the manager will be looking at. Now we've got another clear week, you know, to get one or two of the boys back, hopefully fit and well for the game next Saturday against Wolves. And that's all he'll be thinking about: rest, recuperation, bit of fitness work, and then just getting all the plans in place for that match.
And it just extends that positive run of results, doesn't it? Another win, not quite the clean sheet tonight, but they get themselves, I think, fifth, level on points with Chelsea. It shows what you can achieve if you can be consistent.
You know, in certain games you learn. You learn from it. And I think that was a learning curve in the game tonight. You know, other matches, you know, Leeds, you know, where we gave it away, and ended up we got the 3-3 draw. But, you know, that one, we've seen it out in the end. Yeah, you know, they put a bit of pressure on, even though we're down to nine men, all they were doing was lumping balls into the box, and they were hoping they were going to get something from it. But I thought Virgil stood up really well when needed. And Big Ebu got a great block in when Richarlison went through him. Brilliant block, because that could have nestled in the bottom corner. So there was one or two moments late on in the game where we've got to improve upon. But I just think the team as a whole, we've got to grow in stature, learn how to, you know, win matches, tight matches like that, when the pressure's on a little bit. And then you've got to take the sting out of the game, take the noise out of the stadium, because the Spurs fans were really quiet. Now, and all of a sudden, in the last 9 minutes have added on time, they found their voice, didn't they? They were getting behind the team, they were pushing them on. And we've got to learn to take that sting out of the game, and that's by retaining possession, but also stretching the game, because they were pushing men forward, they were leaving gaps, but we were still trying to play short passes when I thought it was on to play the ball over the top. And I could see the manager, Arnie, was trying to get them up the pitch. He kept saying to them, come up, come up, you know, because all you were encouraging them was to hit long balls, and then they'll just try to win the second ball from there, either get a shot or goal, get a deflection, get a corner, and try and get something from there.
And breathe, as Ray says, a win's a win. We're off to look for a pre-Christmas darkened room.
Oh, thank you very much. The lads are right there saying it is a hard game to analyse and a hard game to take anything from apart from the 3 points. But it is also the confidence from, can we say, a mini run that it is at the moment, Jace? Bearing in mind where we were a month ago and results like this breed confidence.
Yeah, and Sammy touched on it before. The competitive balance of the Premier League this season is as such that it is very congested. Teams are taking points off each other. You know, you see Sunderland have done brilliant, haven't they, sitting fifth. I think you've got Man United, a bit of a resurgence. They've climbed the table. Chelsea doing well. Villa now into third. You know, City and then Arsenal aren't running. No one's running away from it. So Liverpool, as bad as it's been, are still in with a shout of certainly Champions League positions. But I think what we've got to remember is, as much as you're saying we're on this run, it's still a work in progress. And there still are them things that we need to eradicate out of our performances. On another day against the best team, we might have been punished today and come away without anything. But we didn't. We've won ugly, and that's all.
And you don't want to sound negative.
No, you don't want to.
Because that's to analyse you, know, and I've got to be honest, sometimes you best analyse it when you win.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not coming from a negative standpoint. But there are still, and Joel mentioned it before, Razor mentioned it, Matt mentioned it, is the fact that there's still issues that they need to clean up. Otherwise, it shouldn't have become that nervy. But it has been. We've gone away with the 3 points. And you know, for the fact, they will be looking at the film and they'll be finding, what can we do better?
And 2-1, so 2-1 away from home when you went in with 10 minutes to go, it is a nervy time. Things do creep in. Fatigue started. Yeah. You know, your brain's not switched on.
The crowd,
because they've scored, the crowd come on.
They were very physical as Spurs. Yeah. It was
You got it right, the two sending offs were two
sending
offs.
Well, I was just going to, that leads us nicely onto them. Let's talk about Xavi Simons first on his international teammate and captain, of course, Virgil van Dijk.
He'll have something to say.
Probably, I'm sure he will. I would say more clumsy than real malice behind it, Jace.
Bex,
you
sorry.
Disagree?
I'll
let Sammy answer.
Bex, I thought it was awful.
Do you think he fully intended to do that?
Bex, he was nowhere near the ball. The ball was it was nowhere near the ball. And so I don't like Sam played like, but that was an awful challenge. And that was a challenge that any other player apart from Virgil van Dijk would have been badly injured. And he rode it, Virgil. I thought it was an awful challenge.
Do you know, like in the game, we'd say leave a bet on him. That's leaving a bet on a player. That's when you're far enough away not to make the challenge, but you're close enough to leave something on him.
And from behind.
Yeah, and in years gone by with no VAR and cameras, you might have got away with that because the referee's a distance away. There's no cameras. There's no VAR and all that. You might have just got away with ref a slip. You know, you get away with it, but in this day and age, you just don't because the cameras are there. And as Sammy said, you know, when you see it again, you go, oh, he's left a bit on him there. He knows what he's doing.
I mean, to be clear, I'm not saying it in any way wasn't a bad challenge. I just wasn't sure whether there was full intent. But Joel, you'll probably agree with the lads here.
I'm going to say to that card, Becky, but only because, if you remember, second game of the season at Newcastle, Anthony Gordon was sent off for something similar to Van Dijk, raking the back of his leg, weren't he? And you know what? I don't know if you lads agree with me. It was a similar position, weren't it?
Very similar.
It was right down the back of his calf, more or less, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And if you if you got the two together, I mean, I don't know whether this is something for the review show on Monday or not, or it's a talking point, but I'm giving you ideas here for free. So, so yeah, if you put them, if you put the stills side by side, more or less the same. But what I'd say is, I think Gordon's was more intense, you know, than Xavi Simmons was. I think Simmons was careless, but it was still a red card. And then the Romero one later on, I mean, like, that was just silly. I mean, that was just so needless. If, I think if you're Thomas Frank, you're going potty in the dressing room afterwards on him. I think the Simmons one is clumsy, but still a red card, so you can still have a go at him by all means. But I think that Romero one, when you're piling the pressure on right at the end and you didn't stop at your time and you've gone, there's a little come together between you and Canate, and to do that on the floor, I mean, from a coach's perspective, Sammy, if a player did that on your team, are you rollicking him in the dressing room afterwards, giving him pelters?
Yeah, but I guess Sam to do that. Big Sam to do that. Because he's 6'4".
Sammy's too
nice.
What
about when you were at Liverpool, Sammy? What about when you were under Roy Evans and Gerrard earlier?
Yeah.
Two managers. Yeah. Or Rafa even.
Well, let's not go there for now. We'll talk about the time. You talk about being clumsy. I have to say to you, mate, there was no way he was a clumsy because he was nowhere near the ball, Joe. He was nowhere near the ball, and I have to say, that's right. Forgive me, Beckman, because of cross you.
No, I
just thought it was honestly, I really do no intent to go near the ball. Yeah. I thought it was quite malicious, you know, and clumsy. Clumsy is when sometimes you make a mistake. That was awful, awful. And as you so rightly said, very similar to the Anthony Gordon one, but in a similar part of the pitch, and again, down on the same player. Going down the back, and in both them scenarios, you only have to look at Virgil's sock. They both ripped at the same time. So for me, it was malicious. I thought it was a shocking tackle. And the reaction of the other guy, Romero, he was like that all game, reacting. You know, he was trying to play the captain's role where he was arguing every decision, maybe trying to get the crowd into it, maybe trying to show that we're behind Thomas Frank. But his reaction there, like Simeone's on Becks. Mm. I thought, honestly.
If I'm playing against Liverpool, having watched them and analysed them, Liverpool don't like being bullied. They don't like it when teams get stuck into them, when teams leave a bit on them, when teams are physical. Liverpool don't like it. And it's as simple as that. I think part of Thomas Frank's maybe through the week, you know, in training and stuff, it's like, listen, let's get stuck into them. Let's leave a bit on them. Let's just tell them that they're in a game. And I think he's just completely got it wrong and he's just left it on Virgil. It's like, right, I'm gonna get stuck into them. I'm gonna leave it on him. But he was nowhere near to do it. And he tried to give it. I slipped and then went into it. No, he went into him and then slipped. But I'm with Sammy. I think it was a bit vicious. Actually, it was a bit naughty.
Okay, speaking of it. Discipline, a yellow card for Dominic Szoboszlai today, which means he misses the game with Wolves. He's been on a yellow
Christmas.
for maybe.
He wants Christmas off. Razor used to do that all the time.
I leave that to you.
I don't think Razor ever played over Christmas.
I'm sure he'll be working very hard on the training ground over Christmas, Dominic Szoboszlai, regardless, but he does miss the game with Wolves, which is, there's no dressing it up. That is a blow, Sam.
No, it's a massive blow for a number of reasons. He's been one of our better players throughout the season in a number of positions, so that's a massive loss for us, you know. And again, alongside the fact that we've got injuries and the bench was looking a little bit thin today, you know, that's a big disappointment. But again, that's the nature of this league, as we said before, the competitive nature of it, the aggressive nature of it, you know, the mere fact that no game is easy. Nine men, bottom of the table, Wolves come to 27th, going to give us another degree of difficulty for different reasons. And that's disappointing that he's out of that.
I just thought on there, Frimpong's gone off, that's right side. Bradley's gone off, right side. Salah's away, right side. Szoboszlai plays right side.
That means
I might get a call.
I was going to say, you could get a call.
I'll have to stay off at Christmas Day. I might get the call, mightn't I?
You did well in the Legends game, by the way, just to let you know.
15 minutes. Yeah, oh, no, I've got 15 minutes if you need it.
Still a chance for Jace.
Telling me there's a chance.
I am indeed. I'm also telling you there is some reaction from the Liverpool dressing room. We promised you some. We have got you some. It's Florian Wirtz.
Florian, what a crazy game.
Yeah, that's true. But in the end, we are happy that we won, and three points, everything that counted, so we're happy.
Yeah. You got your assist, that's nice.
Yeah, that's also nice.
What kind of game was it like to play in? The first half was quite quiet, second half was not quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I think until minute 70, we made a very good game. Of course, in the first half, we had a few counter-attacks against us, what we can do better. But all in all, 70 minutes, very good game. And yeah, then out of the set piece, we conceded the goal. And after that goal, it was a bit wild. And yeah, but this is always like this in these games. When they get one goal, they're trying to get the second one. And yeah, then in the end, you have just to try to bring it to the end and take the 3 points. And that's what we did today.
What about from your point of view? Do you feel like you're learning and getting more time to affect the game?
Yeah, I think today I had a few good situations. I come in good positions, create something to get dangerous for goals. So yeah, it's getting better every week. I can feel this on the pitch, and yeah, it makes me happy that I can enjoy the football, you know.
Yeah, and a few tired, maybe a few injured in there. What's the situation in the dressing room?
Yeah, with Alex is a bit unlucky. I hope it's not too bad. Yeah. But we have to wait for that, and I think the others are not too serious, but hopefully Alex will be back soon.
We hope so too. Enjoy your Christmas, and we'll see you against Wolves.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Yeah, we await that news on Alexander Isak. Florian Wirtz himself was seen limping off towards the end, but thankfully it looks like he is okay. Just on him, not just today, Sammy, but the last few weeks. I think the start of the season we've seen sort of glimpses of what he was capable of, and it feels like now he's starting to put a run of more complete performances together.
And you get more minutes back, which stands for everything. I think we mentioned green shoots a couple of weeks ago, and now he's having more of an impact on the game. And goals and assists, the stats will be there for everybody. And you look at him, even coming out, having an interview, which again shows a little bit more confidence. And I like the way he spoke about it, very calm, very cool. But his feet, fantastic little feet in them tight areas, little ins and out, little gives and goes. That's the type of thing you need to break down these you know, low block defences, if you like. So I'm liking what I'm seeing at this moment. He still comes to terms with the competitive element, the aggression, you know, the physicality of our league, but he's getting there.
Number seven. Is he number seven?
He is number seven.
Which is a big I was going to say he started to grow into the shirt, but even so, what a number. That is for Liverpool, you know, but that is a big shirt. But Sammy's right, he's starting to grow into it. I mean, some of his movements, his little passes, his vision. You know, we struggled early on in the season. I totally agree with Sammy with the physicality. Listen, he's used to getting a Christmas off, isn't he? Because they have it off, but he's going to have to go again. So you could see he looks like he's bulked up a little bit, and he's starting to really, like, show his worth now.
Yeah, well, in terms of that, you know, when you look at the stats in recent weeks, he's winning more of his duels, that physical side of the game that you're speaking about. And Ole Slot's actually said he's been on a weight gaining program.
So have I, by the way.
Haven't we all at Christmas time? But, you know, to build bulk up and that physicality of the Premier League, which it does take some time to get used to, doesn't it, Sam?
And people underestimate that, Bex. They really do, honestly. And until you actually really. It's hard to gauge. It's hard to really, really get to come to grips with the fact that how difficult the league this is. And we keep on saying it week in, week out. But that's why it's the best. That's why it's the best. That's why we love it so much.
90% of the world's best players are in the Premier League. Mm. They're here for a reason, because the Premier League teams have the most money, so they can attract them into the Premier League. So as much as we don't want to talk about the German league being weaker, and it is, you know, it's a fact. You know, the games are thick and fast, better players, better quality. You know, it's going to take time for him to find his feet, different culture. He's got to find all them things that we don't see off the pitch. I mean, you've been heavily involved in that side of things as well. You've got to find, you know, if you're married, you've got to find schools for your kids. You've got to find a house. You've got to keep your wife happy. You've got to do this. You've got to get into a community. There's lots of stuff goes on by moving country and moving to a football club, and it takes its time. And he, you know, he's not one of them players that's going to come in and be physical and win headers and centre-halves, or he's a creative player, isn't he? He's like, you know, he's got to find his feet on the pitch, the quickness. He's got to strike relationships up as well. he's starting to come good.
Can I just make it clear when I say about the leagues, it's because it's the most physically demanding our league. I wouldn't dare talk in terms of better technically or whatever with the leagues, just in terms of physicality. And he's starting to come to terms with it now. You can see the ability in him, you can see his feet, and his understanding with Ekitike for me now, it's really becoming lovely to see. You know, so it's the physicality more, Bex, that has held him back to a degree. Now I think he's overcoming that.
Yeah, let's head to Joel Richards on our fan panel. He's been waiting there patiently to give us his thoughts on Florian Wirtz. I'm sure you'd agree with the lads in the studio. We're starting to see the player that we knew was in there when we signed him.
Definitely. And I know this is going to sound like a mad shout for the second most expensive signing in British football history, but there was a feeling I had at the time when we signed him that maybe, just maybe, he was going to be a bit of a slow burner. Maybe similar to in the Ekitike mould, or just a little bit different, but I just thought that he was going to need time to adapt to the English game, and I felt that he needed to come in into a new system, into a new environment where, in Germany, you know, he's in his own country, he's one of the hottest talents in German football, if not the world. But I always felt like, as Sammy and Jason said, that the Premier League's far more physical and it doesn't really cater for players like Florian Wirtz. They've got to adapt to the English game. So I think it's took them a bit of time. Again, as I mentioned earlier with Ekitike, the form hasn't helped at all, and the whole coming in and out of the team maybe. So now that we're on a little bit of a run, maybe that will help his own confidence, and I'm just delighted tonight that he's got an assist, because now all those silly memes online when it was, well, after it was his first seven appearances, 007, you know, they can be consigned to history now, and I just hope that kickstarts his goal contributions a bit more. I mean, he was unlucky a couple of weeks ago that the equaliser against Sunderland went down as an own goal. You know, that would have done him a massive favour, but I think tonight could be something that could be a start, and then hopefully it won't be too long before he's getting his first goal. The assists are not just in the one column, it's just one assist, it's going to be more and more as the season goes on, and maybe from the turn of the year, from January onwards, second half of the season, he might be a totally different player where he just hits a rich vein of form, and he's a complete contrast to the player that started the season with Liverpool, and I'm really confident he will do that, especially in a year where it's going to lead on to him going to the World Cup with Germany, as long as he's fit and healthy, of course.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a bus Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.
Okay, let's cross back over to the stadium now. We can hear from the boss. Arne Slot has been speaking at his post-match press conference.
What's the news on Isak?
I don't have any news on him, but if a player scores and then gets injured and doesn't come back on the pitch, so doesn't try to come back, which is what Conor Bradley, for example, did, but I had to take him off as well because he couldn't go on. But if a player doesn't even try to come back, that's usually not a good thing. But I cannot say anything more than that. That is just gut feeling, but nothing medical to say about it.
And he hasn't got any gut feeling of his own, has he, about how?
Haven't spoken to him about that yet. But it's a good thing that he scored. Good goal. Assisted by Florian Wirtz. Said last week already that players are getting better. Our team is getting better. Again, wasn't perfect today, especially not in the last 10 minutes. But in the meantime, we pick our points, and I see the team developing in the way I would like them to see.
Arne, that must make it all the more frustrating losing Alex, because that's probably the sort of moment you've been looking forward to, Florian Peng, Basley, and Riding McKeown.
Yeah, that's what we would like to see happening a lot. Good finish, good pass. But yeah, let's not be too negative yet. Yeah, maybe it, we don't know yet. So let's hope he can. He's back with us soon. But yeah, difficult to say to you now.
I guess just sort of what's the overall reaction to that? Because it's obviously a massive win, but it looks like it's going to come at a cost, not just with Alex, but with Jeremy perhaps as well.
No, Jeremy is no problem at all. I didn't want to go down to 10 men for 30 seconds. I think this is the only country where if players are injured, they need to go 30 seconds off. With a head injury, even 45. So I adapted to that. I knew there wasn't long to play, and I thought we struggled a lot with a plus one. So playing 10v10 for half a minute with him being on the floor, yes or no, no, then just go with Federico. So no problem with him. But with Alex and with Connor, we have to wait. And you could see our bench today as well, but this is not for the first time in the last few weeks. And we are picking up points, and that's the main thing. We're not the only team that suffers injuries in this period in England because we play so many games. This is quite normal that teams have injuries in this period of time.
10 minutes to stop his time. How pleased were you to see Christian Romero get sent off and just make it a little bit easier for those last few minutes?
I thought it would mean that it was a bit easier, but in reality it wasn't. So, of course, they still had the free kick, and I know what a special player Porro is and how good of a free kick he has. He showed that already. The corner kick he took, which led eventually to the goal in some other moments. So I thought first, let's first survive this free kick. And to be honest, I thought against nine, we will probably be able then to keep them away from our goal. But it looked as if we were down to nine and they were with 11 because it was attack after attack after attack, which didn't lead to a goal. The second one I haven't seen, so there was the second yellow. So I thought one of our players got a yellow, and I was like, how can Ibu get a yellow card for this? But Ibu wasn't even on a yellow. but then I saw that they got one, so I don't know what happened, why he got the second yellow. The first one was with Xavi Simons. I don't think he had any intention to do it, but yeah, if you see it back, where he touches him from behind, starts the heights, I think it was calf Achilles. This time, already a few times in games when other teams made fouls like that against us, it didn't lead to a red card. But this time it did, and I think I've seen multiple times that these fouls are a red card. But I've seen this season a few times when other teams made these same fouls against us that it wasn't. So you always rely a little bit on who is the VAR and what does the which decision makes the referee.
Chaps, thank you.
Arnie, after all the difficulties, you're nearly top four again. I mean, how do you assess where you are and what the last sort of few weeks have been?
No, of course we're happy with that, but when we started the season, it wasn't as if I was thrilled and completely happy when we were top four. We're always aiming for the best possible. And after the very good start we had, we were disappointed with the run of results we had afterwards. But I think you've said it. We are now maybe on equal points for top four. I don't exactly know. But don't forget it, in the Champions League, we've done quite well with a very difficult draw. I think I see a lot of teams that have hardly ever points, but we haven't faced them. So I think it's never been as bad as people said. But it's also true that we are definitely not perfect yet. But we knew this when we made so many changes in the summer that it would take time. Maybe because we won the first five or six games, everybody thought, oh, this will just go so easily. But as a club, ownership, Richard, Michael, all the other people knew that change could also go with different results, and that is shown to be true.
Arne Slot should be reasonably happy, I would imagine, with the 3 points tonight. Let's just take a look at what lies ahead for Liverpool. Of course, the next game is Wolves, but it is a full week to wait until the next time Liverpool are in action at Anfield. That comes on the 27th, and of course will be the final game of 2025. Then to kick off the new year, Leeds at Anfield on New Year's Day, followed by a capital doubleheader. First up, Fulham on the 4th, and that is followed by a trip to the Emirates to take on Arsenal. Joel, I'll come to you. We're coming to the end of the show, but just in terms of looking at those fixtures now, I think you probably feel a lot more confident than maybe you'd have a month or so ago, just about the direction the Reds are going in.
Definitely, yeah, Becky. I mean, look, you're 6 games unbeaten now. That can't be understated how massive that is for this team, given the run that they went on beforehand. So for us now, we've just got to continue building that momentum, even in the face of all the injuries that we've got. Wolves and Leeds, I expect not less than 6 points. Fulham away. If we bring our A game, another win there, so 9 points. And in our ideal world, you take 10 from 12. If we somehow ended up with 10 points from 12 over those 4 games, I'd be very happy going into the new year, and I think I'd back us to comfortably get top 4.
Yeah, how do you look at those forthcoming games? Because without wanting to jinx it, as Joel said, you should be looking at those Wolves and Leeds games though and thinking 6 points.
I know, probably a month ago I got asked the same question, and it was like, last season I'd have gone win, 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 maybe a draw, win. Now it's, you know, a month ago you'd have gone, oh, I don't know.
But I asked you pre-match.
Yeah,
I
said, I'm getting more and more confident.
I said, if we win tonight, do you feel like the door is pretty much closed on that tough period?
I said it before, it's a work in progress. There's still things to eradicate out of our performances. There's still plenty of game management to learn. But their games now I look at and think, I fancy us. Yeah. So I agree with Joel. I'd take 10 points.
I think Joel got a spot on.
Yeah.
I think Joe got a spot in terms of analysis. Mm. You know, the teams we're playing against, he did say no game is going to be easy. Bring our A game to Fulham, yeah. So I think Joe got a spot on with 10 out of 12. I'd be chuffed with that.
I'd be chuffed with
that. Liverpool, we go to win every game. But if we're being realistic, 10 out of the 12, for me, I'd be really pleased with that.
And you want to go into that Arsenal game with a bit of confidence and spring in your step, Jace, as well.
Oh, could bring it all closer together again, couldn't it? Like, we'd take points off them. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's coming.
Might win the league.
Oh, it's still not out of the question. You never, ever know, right? That is it from us for now. It has been a pleasure. Thank you all very, very much indeed for joining us tonight. Jason, Sammy and Ray, of course, as well, down in London alongside Matt Smith. And of course, our guest there, our solo fan panel guest this week, Joel Richards. A very Merry Christmas to you, Joel. And thank you very much indeed for joining us. That is it for this episode of The Reaction, but we will be back after Christmas when the Reds welcome Wolves to Anfield on Saturday the 27th. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode. Thanks for being with us.